This episode of What the Tech is brought to you by Kaspersky Labs. Over 400 million users around the globe trust Kaspersky Labs to protect their banking, browsing, shopping, and socializing from dangerous online threats. Kaspersky Labs is providing a special offer, 50% off its premium software, Kaspersky Total Security. Go to Kaspersky.com and use the offer code WTT at checkout and get 50% off Kaspersky Total Security. What the tech? Hey, buddy, welcome to What the Tech. I'm Andrew Zarin. Of course, I'm joined by Mr. Paul Theroux. How you doing, Paul?
Pretty good.
Why? What was funny about that? I was very excited to start the show today.
Yep.
Very excited. We're recording on a Thursday. I was traveling this time, but I thought it would be our last Thursday, but it is not our last Thursday. We're doing a show next week on Thursday.
Yep.
Thanks for letting me know, Paul.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I'm a little under here. Sorry.
It's all right. Listen, I know the summer's ending. You're very sad about that. You love the heat. You love the summer. You traveled all summer.
This summer. Dude, has been, as I think you would agree, like the longest, craziest summer. Like, it's just endless summer. You know what? It's the summer I remember as a kid.
It's a summer of love.
No, I mean, remember, summer would be so long when you were a child, you'd actually kind of want to go back to school.
I never
felt
that way.
And that's kind of what, that's kind of what
I never felt that way. It never lasted long enough in my case. There are a lot of things to talk about today. I actually wanted your opinion on a couple of ideas that I had. Just a couple of thoughts that came into my mind this week when looking at the news with all these new hardware stuff coming out, and we have the Apple event next week. A lot's happening, so I want to talk about all that. But before we continue, I want to talk about our advertising. That's Kaspersky Lab. Get 50% off Kaspersky Lab premium software, Kaspersky Total Security. Being safe, my kid is doing a live read with me. Do you hear that? Being safe is a total necessity when it comes to your protection online. There are ad contents that you want to avoid. You want email security. You want to just be safe when you're browsing, you're banking, you're shopping, you're socializing. It becomes very difficult if you are going online blindly. The risks are tremendous. Kaspersky Labs' award-winning internet security software is used by over 400 million users. And guess what? You get 50% off when you go to Kaspersky.com and use the offer code WhatTheTech at checkout when you purchase Kaspersky Total Security. Everyone, go to Kaspersky Labs to show your support. We love these guys, and they've been supporting us, and we support them. I want to thank them for supporting What the Tech and, of course, supporting the GFK Network. Kaspersky.com is the website. Go to Kaspersky.com and use the code What the Tech at checkout. Get 50% off Kaspersky Total Security. I want to thank them for supporting the show. Of course, supporting the GFK Network. Paul.
Yes.
I wanted to start off by talking about the Apple event, but I do want to talk about IFA.
Okay.
And the reason why I want to do that is because HP unveiled some beautiful, beautiful devices. And,
right.
You know, a couple of years ago when we were talking about HP and a lot of people, they were not really considered a premium manufacturer of laptops and PCs. You know, a lot of people didn't consider them a premium. And now by looking at this new lineup that they have and a turnaround over the last couple of months and maybe a couple of years, this is a very different HP. This is a company that wanted to kill the computer division, the PC division.
Well, it's not technically. I mean, this is the company that didn't want to kill the division.
The other company is a different company. The other company is,
But, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, an HP premium laptop was a MacBook Pro clone.
Yeah.
You know, they were ugly, and they were kind of heavy and
very ugly.
And very derivative.
Yeah.
You know,
I want to talk about the laptops, but. I want to talk about the two big announcements for their PC lineup that they announced, and it's this Pavilion Wave. Interesting design. I mean, it's a very good-looking design. Now, a lot of people like to be able to upgrade and like to, you know, tinker with their stuff, and this is not the device for you, obviously, but
Well, by the way, that said, you can, in fact, swap out the storage. It has room for an M2 SSD and a hard drive.
Yeah.
You could replace both of those, and you can upgrade the RAM. It comes with 8 gigs of RAM, but there's a DIMM slot free. You could go up to 16.
Yeah, well, most people aren't going to be swapping video cards out on this thing.
No, well, it's integrated graphics.
Yeah, integrated graphics. But it's a very attractive device. It's a very unique look. You know, I guess so, right? It's kind of like a Mac Pro, but it's this.
But doesn't cost $3,200?
I was waiting for a number like $32,000, but $3,200 is pretty accurate. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's this woven fabric design, which is it's a nice looking device, and
we're starting. This is part of an interesting trend because obviously with like pro type products, you can make this argument that they should be high end materials that will be something like aluminum or magnesium or some kind of black ThinkPad type thing. But this is a product for the home, and if you look at things like the Amazon Echo, I think, but definitely the Google On Hub. Routers, they offer the opportunity to have different fabrics or designs on top of them that are designed to integrate more into your home. And this is kind of the PC that you can leave out and on display. You want people to see it, not something you would hide away in a closet or a home office or a bedroom or whatever. And so I think just on that note, it's kind of a neat thing because it's like nice design for everybody. It's an affordable price.
It's a very affordable price, and the specs look good too. You're not just getting some
it's not like an Atom piece of garbage.
No, it's not like an Atom piece of garbage. And you're getting everything you need. USB 3, and you're getting USB. It has one USB-C port on it.
Yeah.
Okay, so
this is the new trend.
What would be the benefit of putting the USB-C on this on a tower on a PC like this?
You may just have USB peripherals.
Compatibility.
Words,
yeah.
Anyone can use the USB ports that are there. Obviously, anyone can use an adapter if they don't need the USB-C. It's no problem. But USB-C has a lot more throughput. It has a lot more advantages. I think on this device, it's probably data only. So it's not like you're going to drive additional displays and other things off of it, I think. Just for that, it's just a forward-looking, future-proofing kind of thing.
Which I believe you can do two displays on this because it has an HDMI and...
Yeah, and DisplayPort, You can drive two 4K displays, yeah.
Very interesting device. And if you guys haven't seen it, go to throwout.com, you can see it there. Do you think this is the trend now? Do you think this HP will turn into some sort of premium maker of PCs if these things catch on? Because this is a beautiful device.
Yeah, so they're never going to drop their, mainstream lines of PCs. They still sell Streams. Pavilion is actually a mainstream line of PCs. But they, HP, I wrote about this today. I mean, the interesting thing about HP is that they're one of the few remaining what I call like a pure play PC company. I mean, obviously this company sells printers and things like that, but I think we can agree that printers are a PC peripheral. They're, they fall into the same kind of category. A lot of other PC makers are making big pushes into mobile, which HP's not doing. They're making big pushes into other markets. And HP, by splitting, no longer has to deal with the enterprise stuff, the cloud services, all that kind of stuff. And so it's a PC maker. And so when you decide we're going to be a PC maker, what does that mean? Like, how do we make money?
Yeah.
And you have to find ways for that to make sense.
It's very
difficult. Everyone knows.
In the PC market. I mean, the competition is so... And Mac people buy Macs. That's when you go in to buy an Apple user's not debating between a $400 laptop or a MacBook Pro. That's not the argument.
But
for HP,
the parents of a student might be.
Yeah, maybe the parents of a student. Okay.
Some people are. I mean, the Mac is always that choice waiting to be made, right? And the problem with someone choosing a Mac from the perspective of the PC industry is that they're probably not coming back.
Yeah, they're done.
And it behooves them to do. HP has made big pushes into premium PCs. They have Envy and Spectre lines. They made big pushes into gaming PCs, which is also a high margin business with Omen. They've got VR PCs, backpack PCs, tower PCs, laptop gaming PCs. And it occurred to me today looking at what they just released that you could go back 2 years. And it's funny, in many ways the most unassuming of products. But think back to that original HP Stream laptop. We have at least three of them here in my home. My wife uses one to this day every day.
What, like the Stream 13, like the little ones?
She uses the smaller one. It's an 11-inch one.
Wow.
2 gigs of RAM, Atom processor, eMMC storage, 11-inch screen, $200, right? Brand new. There's a place for that. But the thing that's interesting about those machines in particular is that they don't suck, right?
Yeah.
They're really cool for what they are.
What they
the materials
do, yeah.
are nice. The colors are fun. You know, they feel high quality. The typing experience is actually good. They don't have to be that good at $200. And I think that was, well, I know now looking back on it, because they've really remade their entire lineup of products and expanded it very dramatically over the past 2 years. And if you look at their kind of stable of products now, compare it to what was available 2-3 years ago, it's a huge, huge improvement. And you just don't see that kind of improvement across the board elsewhere,
no.
especially at companies that are just basically pure PC companies.
You know, and it's interesting because I think the discussion that we would have had a couple of years ago was that Lenovo's kicking butt. Lenovo makes the best yeah. devices, Lenovo. And I'm not – other than the ThinkPad, listen, other than the ThinkPad
right.
that I love. Yeah. I love the yep. – like, you know, that old school ThinkPad, and that thing is yep. indestructible and they're built really well. But when I look at Lenovo's lineup and I'm looking at HP's lineup on the premium level, I'm very impressed with HP. When it comes to, I mean, laptop that you have, sure. what is it? The Elite, the Spec, what, Spectre
well, which,
Elite?
Which one?
Which one, I know.
Spectre X360, I've yeah. got two of those.
You brought to New York, you and Mary Jo both had.
Oh, the new one is the Spectre Notebook.
Yeah.
Stunning.
Beautiful. Absolutely yeah. beautiful, right? And you look at that thing and you say, wow, this is a premium device.
Well, by the way, just to be fair to Lenovo, Lenovo makes incredible
make
premium devices.
Yeah, absolutely. They make great stuff too. Yeah.
Unassailable. Beautiful keyboards, beautiful design. Very, very nice. Surface devices are arguably very nice premium machines. They've certainly had their problems, reliability issues. Dell doesn't really play in this market. A lot of people hold up the XPS 13 for some reason. It's really, it's just not in the same category as these devices. And I think the thing, though, about HP that separates it from these other companies is the range, right? All the way from that beautiful high-end premium machine, which a couple of companies offer, and Apple falls into this category. All the way down to, like I said, the Streams and Pavilions, which are really low-end machines. If you look at what other companies are doing, they're either doing nothing or they're doing horrible, cheap. They're just cheap.
Yeah.
And I think that's what sets HP apart. They've really decided that they need to differentiate at every level.
Absolutely. And so here's some. This really caught my eye because it's very unique, right? And I don't know if it's going to catch on.
Yeah.
But this is the Slice, the Elite Slice, which is a modular PC.
Yeah.
This is really interesting. So it's using USB-C connectivity. And essentially how it works is it clicks on, right? So like that's the base. That's,
yeah,
I guess,
no
everything.
Fires, no,
and then you add stuff to it. Like you add a CD drive, a DVD drive, or Blu-ray drive, whatever it is, Blu-ray drive, and yep. speakers on the bottom. You could add that. There's a audio module. There's the DVD module, right? And then,
yep.
and then I forgot what else. There was something else, right?
There's a Skype for Business module with
meeting,
a hardware
meeting room module, right?
And the Vesa plate, so you can mount it to the back of a monitor.
Yeah,
and you can mount it with all those things clipped on. They all stay together. You can
wireless
put the whole
charging
thing
cover also will be
yeah,
shipping.
Not shown, but yeah,
yeah. This is a very unique and interesting concept.
Well, so here's, yeah, I mean, it's interesting because there are small form factor PCs, right? The NUC that I'm using right now is an example of that. The little Chinese piece of garbage, the Wintel thing. The Kangaroo PC is an example, these small form factors. It's kind of a thing. But unlike a lot of those devices, and like the NUC, it has actual high-end components in it. You can get an i7, you can get a lot of RAM, you can get a lot of storage, M2, you know, fast storage, it's nice. But where this kind of goes above the NUC is in two areas. One is the design. You can look at it. It's beautiful. And it shares some design elements with that laptop yeah. you were talking about, right? The copper elements and so forth. It's a beautiful looking device. So that's nice. High quality materials. But also the expandability via the modular capabilities. You don't have to have a bunch of wires coming off the back. I mean,
yeah.
I can expand the NUC with additional storage outside of it and an optical drive, but it's going to be wires. It's going to be power adapters in many cases. It's going to be other boxes. And this, you just, you know, kind of stack them up.
So starting,
what you need.
Starting price is $669, mid-range. And it varies from a i3 to all the way to an i7. So you get, right. you know, your choice. It's not super cheap. It's not very inexpensive, but it's a nice looking device and it looks pretty in your office if that's what we're going yep. for. You know, when we talk about these devices, performance wise, you could get anything. I could build a PC in a metal tin can if I needed. You know what I mean? Like it's doesn't matter the design if it doesn't matter when you talk about performance. But absolutely design wise, this is a very good looking, I guess, desktop. What would you call
it's beautiful.
This? What would you? Is this a desktop? It is a desktop.
It's a desktop. Yeah.
Yeah. Very
actually,
pretty.
The way to think about this is, you know, the Pavilion Wave. Is that the name of it? Yeah.
And the
Pavilion Wave and the Elite Slice, right, are two new takes on what have been traditional kinds of PCs, right? So the Elite Slice is like a desktop computer, and the Pavilion Wave is like a tower, you know, like a mini tower. And it doesn't have the same modular capabilities, obviously, but it will probably serve the same purpose as a tower PC would for many people.
I was, you know, if I was like a normal person, I needed to get a tower PC, I'm more likely to purchase something that looks nice in my office.
Yeah.
You know, like now, like not for me, you know, I have this giant tower and it's ridiculous in my office, but this is what I'm doing. You know, I don't need 10 monitors around me if I was, you know, a normal human being instead of being the same person. But you look at this, and if I'm going into a store and I'm looking for a PC and I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to spend about $600 and I want a desktop right. for whatever reason, this may be something I want to buy.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot, both of these are a lot nicer than the NUC that I'm currently using, which is really, you know, it's utilitarian looking, I think is the way I would say it. It's not that it's ugly, although suddenly, you know, compared to this, it does kind of look ugly. But
it's amazing
how
the PC market
beautiful.
Has changed. I mean, before the discussion was performance, performance, performance. We wanted the best performance that we could get. You look at computer magazines from 15 years ago, you know, you're talking about the fastest and the greatest. Nobody was talking about the look and the design.
Yeah, I mean, it's only with Apple, right?
Only
and
with
it's
Apple,
funny
yeah.
how that stuff, for the most part, has trailed off. You know, the iMac for a couple of generations was very interesting. The current iMac is, frankly, kind of boring. And in I said at the time when those first came out with that design, not as interesting as that. Remember the lamp iMac with the screen with the beautiful,
which you showed last week on the show.
Yeah, it was a beautiful design, and then subsequent designs were not as interesting. I mean, the second gen MacBook Air, right, which was the prototype for all the Ultrabooks that have come since, was in its day very exciting. And this computer had no impact at all in the market, but the MacBook Pro was one of those misreadings, I think, by Apple, because this little $500 Pavilion does what, you know, looks just like the MacBook, the new Mac Pro or the newish Mac Pro. But the Mac Pro has historically been a workstation. It should have lots of internal expansion. It should be a tower, you know, and I think that was Apple going form over function, which they have a really hard time not doing.
So that leads me into what I want to talk about. And we're talking about design and we're talking about overall the overall design of the PC market, right? And you said something interesting earlier where you said, you know, HP's approach to being a premium manufacturer of computers, you know, premium hardware was these crappy MacBook clones. They kind of look like a MacBook, but they really were not. Once you started using it, the functionality was not like a MacBook. There were issues. I'm going to bring up the trackpad because it's been a while.
Yeah,
the trackpad was absolutely an issue. The displays were but they've kind of gotten their groove. But I think overall, the PC market has kind of learned that, hey, these MacBook clones are not the answer to a premium laptop. And I have to tell you, I saw, where was it? I saw, I believe it was an Asus or an Acer just recently. It was announced at the conference, IFA.
Yep.
I'm looking at this thing and I go, oh man, you know what? I'm going to be honest. Apple's in trouble. The overall design, the lineup that they have currently. And who knows what they're going to announce on next Wednesday. You know, it could be that new MacBook that I say, okay, I'm going to eat my words. So by the time you listen to this, if you're a week behind, I may be totally wrong here. But at the current moment.
I don't think you're going to be.
At the current moment on September 1st of 2016, looking at that Mac lineup, and as someone that has a MacBook, I have to tell you, it looks dated. And
it is dated.
It is
it
not
doesn't
standing
look
out.
Dated.
It's not it's standing
dated.
Out.
Yeah.
You know,
so the problem, so, you know, obviously Apple has world-class designers, right? They do an amazing job of integrating software and hardware. I've always really liked their hardware designs. So why has the Mac really kind of stood still for so long? You know, people who are Mac or Apple fans will make excuses and try to pretend that these minor updates that were internal, you know, somehow changed the design and are important, and they're not. You know, the MacBook Air hasn't changed since 2010. The MacBook Pro hasn't changed since whatever year, 2012 or 2011, whatever year that was. These things have just sat still. The Mac Mini is the saddest thing in the whole lineup. I mean, that thing's running a chipset that's older than the one that's in my HP tower that I never even use anymore. So why, you know, why is that? I mean, everyone knows Apple makes good money on the Mac. It's a great business. They sell pretty well, and anyone would be happy to make that much money selling PCs. The problem is that the rest of Apple is so successful. You know, they have these really high volume, high margin products. And so something like the Mac, even though it's a solid business, really solid business, and would is the envy of that industry, at Apple, it's on the back burner. It's not as important. They want you to buy a product that you're going to replace every year or two, which is a phone, right? That's where they make all their money. Super high margins and super high replacement times, you know? And PCs last too long. People just, they're utilitarian. People just use them for too long.
Yeah, I mean,
and so
I
there's
remember,
no value in app to Apple.
3 to 5 years before, right, for PCs. Every 3 to 5 years, people would get a new PC because it was getting old. Now, that's not, you're absolutely right. That's not the case anymore.
Right. So, you know, it's not that Apple's business, Mac business is not solid. It's just that the rest of it is so much better. You know, so they'll update. I mean, they'll get there. You know, they get a lot of credit for things like the new MacBook, right? About a year and a half ago, whenever that was, they came out with this thing with like a trackpad that didn't actually have a mechanical click to it. And everyone thought this was the biggest innovation in the world. HP shipped one of those first. They shipped it before Apple did. And they had a device that was just about as thin. But Apple does things, you know, again, it's not customer centric. It's like Apple centric. They're designed to be that MacBook is designed so that it won't last for a long time. And I don't mean it's cheaply made. I mean that it has one USB-C port by design. That wasn't designed to help customers. There's not a single customer on earth that benefits from only having a single port. Only
sure?
Apple does.
Are you sure? Are you sure about that?
Yeah, no, I'm positive.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Yeah.
There are people who will accept it, and there are people who will just blindly say that everything Apple does is great. I take it. I'm happy to have it. And I'll bring dongles like an idiot, and I'll have all these wires everywhere. I'm willing to put up with it because the thing's so thin and light, and I love Apple, and I don't care.
Well, you
but
know
that's
what the greatest experiment
the same
for them is? The greatest experiment is this new iPhone that we're going to get on Wednesday.
That's the latest experiment.
Right? Yeah. Well, you're going to require a dongle, right? And this is their most successful product. If you want to use your headphones, you're going to need some sort of stupid dongle. If you want to charge your phone and listen to music at the same time, you're going to need a dongle.
It's unbelievable.
I don't know how they're going to do this because
I'm nervous about this.
You know, I got an email last week, and we were talking about this for the last couple of weeks. I can't remember if it was last week or the week before, but last week, at the time we were talking about, you know, a viewer brought up, I think it was Suncast in the chat room, he said, I listen to music while I'm charging my phone. Like, I connect it to the wall and I'll listen in bed.
Now he does. No, right? He won't do that anymore.
So, now he won't do it, right? But let's, okay, so, and the answer was, well, there's going to be a dongle. There's going to be a breakout, so it's going to be two lightning ports and then you connect it. Well, what if I want to use my 3.5 millimeter headphone and not...
Well, there'll be a dock, right?
So, you're literally going to have a breakout cable going into another adapter into the headphones.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not defending it. I
know
this is the wrong move. I don't believe that this saves anything in the way of thickness.
No,
I also don't think that we're at the point where thickness is a problem and this thing needs to be wafer thin. I think at some point something can be too small for your hand for it to be comfortable to hold. And I'd rather have a little extra thickness and have more battery life. Personally,
I'm the same.
I don't think there's an Apple user on Earth who claims they don't want more battery life on their iPhone.
Well,
I mean,
most
stupid,
people have a case on their phone anyway, right? So you're making it thicker. You're making it thicker.
Again, you're not. You're. This is like excusing stupidity. Yeah. You know, it's fine. I just buy another. You know, I spent so much money on the phone that I put some more money on a case. And now everything's great.
Yeah.
And now the beautiful thing that I, you know, bought is covered up by the case and it's three times as thick. But now it lasts for a day. And I just don't. That's not a. This doesn't add up.
Yeah.
You know, I'm curious to see how Apple's fans, who I've found to be very elastic when it comes to just accepting anything that they do.
You know what? That is actually the greatest explanation to use for apologies. Again, they're not apologies. They're very elastic.
Yeah. No, they can bend the truth to match whatever Apple's doing. It's fine. It's fine. It's what I wanted all along. They're so smart. You know, I we'll see, right? I mean, they're going to have an opportunity in about a week to stand on a stage and explain why this is not just okay,
yeah,
but is preferable. And they'll talk about things like audio quality and blah, 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 whatever. And, you know, we'll see. Look, I'm not an audiophile. I like a lot of people, I'm kind of set my ways in the ways I do certain things around digital media, for example. But I've heard that Bluetooth headsets, which I don't use, are a little tinny sounding compared to
what. They're not as great. Not that great. No.
I've heard that a lightning based headset could sound even better than one that's based on the standard audio jack. And neat. But the thing already has the plug. Why not just make it an option?
Well, that's, you know, what I was saying.
If that's what I don't understand.
You know, it's the forcefulness that bothers me. And you know how they could have avoided. And I'm telling you, there's going to be. You know what? Who knows? I could just be full of it, and I could be wrong, and maybe there's no backlash.
You're not wrong.
Maybe there's going to be zero backlash, and people are going to applaud Apple for changing the way that we listen to music, okay? Let's say that's – forget about that, right? That's a fantasy world, but I could still be wrong. In my opinion, you know how you soften the blow if this is what you're going to do? If this is what you're going to do, and you're Apple, you're going to say, you know what? Screw this. We're going to go digital. We're going to do these lightning port headphones. This is what we're doing. The last iPhone should have come with a lightning port headphone because they come with headphones. So,
soften the blow,
get people used to it. Do you know how many Apple headphones that I have? Do you know how many I've lost?
I think they come in boxes of serial number.
I have like four of them. And the reason why I have four of them is because every time my wife gets a new iPhone, she has a headphone. Do you know how many of them she misplaces and has to grab the other one? All the time. But, well, she does.
Even my kids know to immediately replace this headset. I mean, they're so terrible.
You know what's funny? They're not the worst.
Okay.
And that's the scary part.
I don't know what we're comparing it to. It doesn't matter. They're what comes with it, and they're terrible. It doesn't matter if they're better than the one like Samsung puts in their phones. I mean, they're just terrible.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is going to be an interesting thing. You're right, to see how this goes. Retroactively, people who are fans of this company will give them credit once again for pushing the industry forward. You know, like they got rid of the floppy disk in the first iMac that was so revolutionary. You know, moving to one USB port was too soon. Moving to the floppy on the first iMac, too soon. And moving away from a standard headphone jack, which everyone has right now, too soon. And like you said, there's a way you can do this in a measured way, and they're just not doing it.
No, that's not the Apple way.
You know, it's going to be interesting because this is not like technical Mac guys anymore. This is the world. There are almost a billion people using these phones.
They're not in
the
minority.
It's really interesting to see how they react.
You know, when it's 5% of the PC market and they do something like remove the floppy drive or
it
doesn't matter. It's 5%, and that 5% is always going to stay loyal because they are Apple users. I don't see people bouncing, to another platform because Apple took away, you know, the floppy drive. There was an adapter, and people bought an adapter, and they put it on. I think this is very different. These are normal people that go out every single day, and they use your product. You're going to have people that complain. Now, I'm going to bring something up that was interesting to me. I was talking to a relative's kid. I was in Florida, my cousin's kid, and he's 13, 14. We were talking about, like, the iPhone, and he goes, yeah, I'm really – this is going to suck when we all go to school. And I said, why? He goes – oh, there's a whole thing. If you don't have the newest iPhone, they shun you in school, he was telling me. He's like, oh, no, you're like the laughing stock. Sure. He goes, I had an iPhone 6, and everybody got the 6S, and everybody was talking to me. Like, they would say, like, oh, what are you, poor? Like, these are, like, normal kids. Like, this is the conversation that's happening. And now he was like, oh, when the new iPhone comes out, everybody's going to look at your plug and see what kind of headphone you have.
This is a very childish approach to technology.
But it's not.
Adoption.
And I'll tell you why.
No, it is. It literally. But just real quick, remember, they came out with an iPhone 5 this year, right? I mean, the only new iPhone released so far this year is a 4-year-old design because so many people were not upgrading. Because they couldn't stand the fact that they couldn't get that older, smaller phone. And Apple doesn't have all the answers. That's just the latest proof of that. You know, like the latest and greatest isn't always the best, and the latest Apple design isn't always the best. The iMac is the same thing, like I said. The iPhone, it's like, maybe this wasn't the right approach. They're going to put out this device today. It looks just like the iPhone 6S.
So what he said to me, and it got me thinking, where I don't think people think when people see a new product, they think it's the best. So with this headphone thing, they may think this is the way to go, and they have something that other people don't. Oh, Apple's going digital audio.
That is by definition.
Apple's going digital audio. The other guys aren't, you know, and I could see the commercials already. I don't know. I think it's an interesting discussion to have. I'm really curious as to what we're going to see in the next month after this phone comes out and all these people. I guarantee you most people are going to get that iPhone. They're not even going to know it doesn't have a headphone adapter. And then they're going to go to plug it in, and they're going to say, what the hell?
I don't know how this is going to go down, right? I'm very interested to see how they explain it and how they physically kind of handle it. You know, they're going to give you some adapter dongle, something, whatever, I assume. Although they're Apple, they often charge for things like this. The problem I have with this is I have years of, there's one on my head, there's one over here that I bring on walks and on trips of headsets that have little standard audio jacks. And is it possible that I'll pull one of these headsets with the adapter out of the new iPhone and the little adapter will fall and I'll lose it? And then I get to go home on a plane and I'm like, oh, where's the stupid adapter? And now I'm stuck on a plane with no way to wear a headset with my phone because I lost the stupid adapter. And I'm sorry, but that's actually
it's going to be a
thing, really serious problem.
Yeah,
I suffer from tinnitus. I can't be in that kind of loud environment for 5 or 6 hours without some kind of protection on my head. And you're telling me that they're arbitrarily changing this chat. This is a vote against this phone for me.
Yeah.
That's too much of a risk. So I'm curious about this. I'm not dispensing it out or, you know, denouncing it out of hand, but I am very curious to see how they handle this and how they communicate it.
So 9to5Mac posted an alleged leaked iPhone 7 Plus package that indicates that they're going to have the Lightning EarPods, actually. They're called EarPods.
Right.
Lightning EarPods and a Lightning 3.5mm jack adapter in the bundled box.
Yeah. Well, that's great. So there's another thing I have to remember to bring all the time. That'll be fun.
But at least they're giving it to you. Listen, they're doing you a favor. Guys, here you go. I do find this an interesting thing. My other worry is if the backlash isn't much, do we see Samsung, HTC, all these other companies diving into this with USB Type-C adapters for headphones?
But those adapters won't work on the iPhone. You understand the problem?
No, not on the iPhone. For themselves. For their own devices.
But now, seriously, this is a disaster.
Proprietary
I don't
bullshit.
Want a different kind of headset that works on different devices. This goes back to the PC conversation we just had, where I made the case, partially, that Apple doesn't do things for its customers. It does things for itself.
Yeah.
Right? And part of the way in which it does stuff for itself is it locks customers in to its own products to ensure that those high margin, often repeat sales continue. And one of the ways they continue is you lock them into this ecosystem where they have Lightning things everywhere that don't work anywhere else. And so what are you going to do? You're going to buy the next iPhone because you're stuck. Oh, and by the way, these guys owe the European Union about $14.5 billion in back taxes. I can't wait until they have to pay it. Oh, yeah. The New York Times had an awesome blow-by-blow account of this where basically it's just lies, lies, lies. They knew all about this. Lies.
So what did they do exactly? Because I was away when a lot of this stuff happened, so I was...
They found a tax haven in Ireland that charges them 1%. So they set up a company that has no employees in the country that they funnel all their profits through.
Amazing.
Yeah. Amazing. It's just, and you know, they could, well, yeah, that's perfectly, you know, Ireland did it. It's you know, it's not us, it's Ireland, right? Well, yeah, right.
I wonder,
but they knew exactly.
Do you think they're going to address it on stage?
Maybe, but he's already given a very lengthy, Tim Cook, that is, interview in the Irish press where he called it total crap and went on and on and on and, you know, whatever, but This is a disaster for everyone who's using Ireland as a tax haven, because a lot of these other companies, including Microsoft and Facebook and whoever else, probably, they're all going to be paying taxes out there.
So
extra taxes.
I want real to. Taxes. Well, then. Yeah.
I don't know. 1%.
You know, talking about,
can you imagine
about your
being tonight? Charged 1%. Wouldn't you love that? Your tax rate is 1%.
Yeah. I, you know what?
Do I get that deal? Can I go to Ireland and get a 1% tax rate?
Yeah. What can we do?
Yeah. What do I have to do to get 1%?
So
the effective tax rate is like 30-something%. It's like 30%.
You know what's terrible? I honestly thought I was going to like kind of break even last year, and I saw the number and my jaw dropped, and I paid it. And then I had an adjustment where I owed another couple $1,000.
They replaced the street in front of my house this week, and I went out and I was talking to the cop who was standing there, and I said, "I'm pretty sure, based on how much I paid in taxes last year to this town, that I own all of this." Yeah, this is my street.
Thorat Lane.
Yeah.
Talking about Thorat Lane, Paul.
Yes.
Thorat.com is one of my favorite websites in the world.
Mine too.
Yeah,
thank
one
you.
Of my favorite websites. And you guys now have a Thorat Premium service, which is launching very soon, I heard, officially.
Sometime in September.
Okay. I had a number. I didn't know if it was public or not. But you guys can join as well. If you go to Thorat Premium, you could join the premium service for $42 a year. That's $42 a year. If you sign up now, you get 35% off your first year subscription. So the reason why it's totally worth it, and I'm telling you, these premium articles that Paul is writing, and I'm not logged in on this computer, but KB Lake is Intel's apology for Skylake. This was a very good article, and there's a lot of insight in this article, Paul. lot of insight to see, you know, what's going on. You also have one about the Surface Book 2, another premium article. These premium articles, just reading this article for me was worth the $42.
Wow.
Now, and that is, you know, sometimes you read something and you say, well, you know what, I give, you know, it's worth it. That was worth, totally worth it for me. This is the thing that makes the site great. These articles are great. You and Brad are doing a tremendous job on the website. And there's a lot of stuff coming up. Video stuff coming up.
Let me give you an update on that, if you don't mind. Because I'm going to post this today. Two things about the site. One is, we had said that we were going to give away an Xbox Elite controller every business day until Premium launched, with the expectation that hopefully we would do that by the end of August. We're actually still a couple of weeks away from doing it. So everyone who visits the site and signs up for the newsletter, which is absolutely free, is enrolled to win one of these controllers. And we're going to keep that going until Premium does launch. And so whatever date that is, it's probably going to be at least a couple more weeks. So we'll have, you know, like 10 more controller giveaways, I would say, at least, you know, so that's still ongoing. But as far as Premium goes, you know, it's kind of a soft launch, right? Because we've been doing some stuff ahead of the actual launch. And we do that to sort of reward the people who have paid early at a reduced rate, who are the alpha members. And so I've been kind of turning that up a little bit. I think people have probably noticed last week, and then this week, you know, there's been more and more premium content happening. But the premium articles are really just part of it. And some of the things that are going to be coming online over the next, you know, days and weeks are a new premium experience across all the articles where you don't see ads, you know, if you're a premium customer. There's a new comment system that we built from scratch internally that's going to be launching very soon, and that will apply to both regular articles and premium articles. We've got the forums, which is foundationally kind of complete, and that's coming online soon. And then Brad and I are starting a series of podcasts, which will be happening soon as well. I've done very little work here, but over to my left will be sort of my mini studio area for that podcast. And Brad's studio is complete. And then I've got all the stuff in. We've got a gigantic Samsung screen and a new desk, and there'll be some, you know, some other stuff going on there. But,
I had a meeting.
So that will
yesterday.
Be happening soon.
I had a meeting about your podcast yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Okay. I did, and I got a. I'm running. I'm a little late with some information I'm supposed to send over about your podcast.
Okay. Well, I don't have anything to do with any of the back end stuff, obviously, or any of the business side of it, or the account stuff, or whatever. But, you know, from my perspective, you know, what premium is. You know, a way for us to kind of get paid directly for what we do. You notice with a lot of other sites who you know, blog about technology or about Windows specifically, they're trying other ways to get money from you, right? They sell gadgets that nobody needs, or they have little digital offers and stuff like that. And I think the you know, as hard as it is for me to ask people for money, you know, which is kind of strange, advertising was nice only because I never had to deal with it. But ads suck, you know, and ads on consumer facing sites in particular have always kind of sucked, and that business is going downhill. And so we could spam our site with ads and eke out a living, but being paid to do what we do is neat. And, you know, there's always some pushback. You know, you always hear from these people like, oh, I used to really like your site. Now it's all like a paywall and screw you, you know. And it's like, yeah. You know, I'm a writer and I feel like I'm a good writer. I'll leave that up to the opinion of others, but I feel like I'm a good writer, and I don't think it's wrong for me to want to be paid for doing what I do, nor do I think it's wrong for me to be paid to write, you know, so I'm not really going to apologize for it. But it's a problem in this world because there's a lot of really low quality blogs out there that just, you know, copy and paste Microsoft blog posts, and you can get information anywhere. But I'd like to think, and I do believe, that we offer a value above and beyond that.
Yeah, you know, 100% you do. And I'm a big fan of the site. And guys, go to therot.com, sign up for the premium. It's $42 for the year. You pay once and you get access to all these amazing things that Paul and Brad are going to be doing in a couple of weeks. So stay tuned.
Well, some of it's there now.
Some of that, yeah. Some of that.
We're churning it up.
Yeah. So what did I want to ask you? I had something here for you. Oh, so can we talk about the KB Lake thing? Because we've spoken about KB Lake. Is it KB?
I told Leo this yesterday, and only because somebody told me this. Supposedly, the name of this thing is not KB Lake, like KB Toys. It's like Cobby Lake.
Cobby Lake.
If I'm getting it right. I think that's...
Cobby Lake.
Yeah.
Bye-bye Lake.
It's, yeah. I don't know what it is.
Cobby Lake. It's Cobby Lake. Okay. So
it's pronounced Nokia.
Yeah. Nokia.
Nokia.
So KB Lake is coming out like now, right? It's like soon. Being shipped.
Yeah, so I think like other processor generations, there are different parts that come out at different times. So this is the initial launch. It's the kind of the lower power versions, like the things you'll see in laptops and portable computers and things like that.
So this was, and it's amazing because I was reading a review about this chip on a website, and I had to step back and ask Paul if I hallucinated the fact that this was not even on their roadmap initially.
Yeah.
This was not going to be the seventh generation chip. The seventh gen chip is the one that they delayed.
Cannon Lake. Right.
That was, and so I'm reading this article about this and how this is the best chip Intel's ever done. And, you know, the article is saying that, you know, I had a third generation i7 chip, and I compared it to the sixth generation. The performance was almost the same, but this one, this new chip is the one to get. It's so fast and it's so good, all this stuff. And
that sounds idiotic.
Okay, so it's possible that they tweaked this thing and its performance is
It has
amazing.
Modest performance gains at best.
Right? At over Skylake.
Yeah, modest.
I was surprised.
That's not the point of this chip, right?
Well, the point
is we're going to pretend it is, but it's not. You know, and this historical stuff going on here, because Intel has historically done this TikTok thing. You know, Microsoft used to do this with Windows Server as well, where one release would be a big release, usually accompanied by a die size change, right? You go down in size, be more efficient, and so forth, and have, you know, bigger yields. And then the next one would be a minor release, same die size, modest performance gains, modest power management improvements and so forth, that kind of thing. That's historically been how it's gone. I talk about this a lot, but I really feel like chip design borders on magic. It's like Intel discovered alien technology, and they're not 100% sure it works. And so they build their giant sheets of chips, and they cut them up into individual chips. And sometimes they work really great, and those are i7s. And sometimes they work really good, and those are i5s. And sometimes they work like crack, and those are m3s. Yeah. You know, and like it's really like it's like they have no idea what they're going to get. It's like they bake this giant pan of cookies, and some of them are awesome, and some of them, you know, they're crusty on the side, a little burnt. And they've never had more reliability problems than they had with Skylake. They've also had a harder time than in the past adhering to the schedule. And so things have kind of slowed down. They've lengthened the schedule all a little bit. And then they finally just gave up. And they realized with this gen, this TikTok thing isn't going to work. So that doesn't mean they go TikTok talk forever, but that's what this is. This is the second talk release after Bay Trail, right? Skylake being the first. Skylake was going to be the only one, but now there's a second one called Kaby Lake.
I'm having
a hard time with that. And then Cannon Lake is still happening. Smaller die size, major improvement. But now we're talking 2017. You know, we'll see.
I thought it was really interesting because you've discussed how this is in that article on the premium portion of Therod.com, mm-hmm. how this is pretty much an apology for screwing up, and they had to release this to fix all the problems with Skylake. And Microsoft was not very pleased with Intel.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I have a lot of information there. Granted, it's one-sided. I should say it's all from Microsoft, but from, you know, highly praised executives at Microsoft who have told me, and more than one, by the way, that they've never had an Intel chipset come in with as poor quality as this one. And that typically the way these things work is that every chipset has problems, right? And usually they're fixed. The types of problems you get by the time they go out to PC makers or to Microsoft can be solved in software. And so PC makers solve some of those issues through driver updates. Microsoft solves some of those issues through updates to Windows. But this was such a problem for them that there was no way they could fix these problems on Windows 7 and Windows 8.1 with halting development of Windows 10, which they were not willing to do. And it was a big problem. You know, and I haven't heard yet how it was resolved, because the thing that's changed since this initial event is that Microsoft has retroactively gone back and said, okay, we'll support Windows 7 and Windows 8.1. So I don't know if Intel did the work to bring those things in line, if Microsoft, you know, found the resources to make it happen.
Well,
I don't
Microsoft
know.
Microsoft said what? It would take them how long?
A year
to fix the problems.
But here's the thing. This is the interesting side story here is that Microsoft used the Skylake incident, as we'll call it, as an excuse to say, we can no longer afford to support older versions of Windows on new silicon, which is a latest Intel and AMD chipsets.
I mean, if it was Skylake that was a problem, why did they throw an AMD in that
because,
batch?
Well, right. So we're casting a wide net here, because what Microsoft really wants is for the industry as a whole to upgrade to Windows 10. And so this has become part of their strategy to get people and companies to upgrade to Windows 10. Because if you want the latest hardware advancements now, Skylake has gotten a mulligan, it got a pass, but now starting with Kaby Lake and going forward, you can't get an older version of Windows on those PCs. You have to get Windows 10. And so they're going to kind of just enforce that now. And that's something that just slipped in under the radar. There was this big kerfuffle over all this stuff. But the most egregious part of it in many ways is still moving forward, because if you want to buy a new PC based on this new chipset or the next gen Cannon Lake or whatever, or the AMD equivalents, whatever they are, you have to get Windows 10.
Yeah. But they did backpedal on that, though, a little
bit. On Skylake, yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing. I have not talked to anyone since that happened, so I don't have any information on who gave in or... I suspect, you know, Intel and Microsoft have been partners for almost 40 years, right? So I'm guessing there was give and take on both sides,
yeah,
right?
That had to have been.
Microsoft was presenting a very hard line. Intel was presenting a very hard line. But, you know, they're ultimately partners, right? So I think they work together. And I suspect, but do not know, that both of them gave in some way, you know?
Did you see, before we wrap up, did you see the Lenovo Yoga book with the digital keyboard?
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Well, you know, we talked a lot about HP earlier and their attempts at reinventing the PC market. We need to give a little bit of credit. I don't want to be too dismissive of Lenovo, because I really like Lenovo's ThinkPad designs in particular. And some of the Yoga stuff is very interesting. The Yoga products suffer on a couple of levels compared to ThinkPad. You know, they don't have the pointing stick, the track point. They don't have the same guarantee of no crapware that you kind of get on ThinkPad, which is, I think, is really nice. And they're more consumer oriented. And so Lenovo over the years has actually been pretty experimental with Yoga. Yoga itself, the actual product line, was kind of an experiment, right? So the one where it kind of flips around all the way. It's I guess it's technically a convertible laptop, but the screen doesn't swivel around. It just flips over all the way, and you can use it like a laptop. Like a tablet. And they've expanded the Yoga. They're actually Yoga ThinkPads you can get too, which is kind of interesting. So the thing you're describing, it seems like kind of an experiment, because if you think about a typical laptop form factor where it's an L shape and the top surface of that bottom part is the keyboard, they're kind of going with like a glass keyboard design where you're really just typing on glass you would be on a tablet. It doesn't seem like a great typing experience, but the benefit of this thing is that you could lay that thing flat and look and kind of orient it sideways, if you will, or, you know, to like 90 degrees. And then what you have is two screens, right? And so it's like a book. And, Microsoft had a...
The Courier.
Prototype design of the Courier. It was never going to make any sense. Everyone really gets excited by these Microsoft products that never happen. I don't actually think this thing makes a ton of sense, to be honest. Because the primary use case for it is something that most people don't do a lot, which is need two screens that are discrete from each other where they can write on one or, you know, whatever while they're reading something on the other. I think the far more common use case is using a device in a laptop orientation and you're typing on it. And if you think about something like the Surface Book, which offers a similar use differences in the sense that it's a laptop and then it's, you know, you take the thing off and it's a tablet. Without having any data, I know for a fact that 95% of the usage of a Surface Book, it's a laptop. It's not used as a clipboard or tablet. It's a laptop. And I think because this thing is such a lousy laptop, I'm not really 100% sure it makes a ton of sense. But I give them credit for kind of throwing it out there, because this is the type of thing you would have shown off as a, you know, like a future idea. Yeah, like when you go to the auto show, like there's always some future Volkswagen they're never going to build. It's like what do you call those things? It's like a concept car.
Yeah.
And so this thing seems like a concept PC, but they're selling it. And, you know, I sometimes feel like common sense can just win the day. Like I think we can all anticipate the reviews and they're going to say, wow, you know, really innovative laptop experience. Isn't that great?
Yeah. So I'm looking at it right now. I mean, the concept is, it's actually exactly what Microsoft had come up with a couple of years ago.
And there was a reason they didn't build that, by the way, because it actually doesn't make any sense.
Well, and it was going to run its own OS. Do you remember that? It wasn't going to be
Windows. I mean, just from a form factor perspective, you have to kind of place it in time. So the Microsoft of whatever year that was would have built it around whatever, whatever. It would have been the Kin OS or
It was pre-iPad, I think. It was pre-iPad.
It doesn't matter. I mean, I'm just saying that's what I mean. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Like, in other words, it doesn't matter when it was going to happen. It would have been whatever was the thing that year.
Yeah. I don't remember. I can't even remember. It's interesting. I mean, the fact that they've gotten that they're doing this. I wonder how many they're going to sell. I want an actual solid number of how many units they're going to move of this. I want to guess 130.
It's going to be in that range. And I don't know. You know, sometimes you have an idea and it doesn't pan out, but that doesn't mean it goes away. Like, I don't think we're going to see a Gen 2 of this product.
No.
But will they learn something from this and put this into some future product? Yeah, you know.
Most likely, yeah.
Sure. Remember, ThinkPad had that weird control strip at the top, and now Apple's about to release a MacBook Pro with the same stupid design.
Yeah.
You know? So we'll see how they do it.
Quick note before we wrap up. Intel also released Apollo Lake.
Yeah.
And nobody's talking about it.
Here's the reason.
Because it sucks.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
remember when Intel is actually part of the same little disaster announcement they had earlier this year where they stopped trying to match their old schedule. They got rid of their really low-end Atom processors, remember? And these are the real low-power versions.
Yeah.
And a lot of people pointed to that and said, oh, they're not going to be able to do an Intel-based Surface phone anymore because this is the type of thing they would have used. If you look at the processor that's in a device like the Surface 3, it's a really low wattage, if I'm getting this right. These things, the ones you're talking about, are five to six times as much power. They're not in the same category.
Yeah,
so they're not going to power the next generation of Windows-based mini tablets, because there aren't going to be any. Nobody's buying those things. It's not aimed for that anymore.
The lowest power one that they have is 6 watts.
And yeah,
it's a Celeron. It's a two-core.
It's a piece of garbage.
Yeah,
garbage.
Yeah, 1.1 gigahertz. Jeez.
Sure.
Terrible. All right, Paul. Hey guys, if you like the show, stay tuned. We're gonna do our bonus show. You can get access to that by going to patreon.com/whatthetech. You okay?
I'll solve my eye problem by then. There's something in my eye. I just get sad every time I talk about atom processors.
I know. Who doesn't? Who doesn't? I sob uncontrollably. Go to our website, gfknetwork.com. Subscribe to the podcast. We're everywhere podcasts are available. Leave a review. We're on iTunes. We're on Google Music. We're on every podcast catcher, I guess. We're everywhere. Every single place. Go to therot.com. Sign up for Therot Premium. I want to thank our sponsor, Kaspersky Lab, for supporting the show. And, of course, for supporting the GFK Network. We'll see you all next week. Take care.